You're listening to Insight. I'm Pamela Wu, in for Beth Ruyak. Vanessa Hua's debut novel, A River of Stars, is wowing both critics and readers this summer. Hua is a featured author at the Stories on Stage Davis opening night gala. That's tomorrow evening at the Pence Gallery. She joined our Donna Appadoni for a conversation at Cap Radio Reads during the recent release of her book. Here's an excerpt from an upcoming episode of the Cap Radio Reads podcast.
Often with my fiction, I begin with a premise or a circumstance, and I can give sort of the backstory to how I even heard about where the books open. The book opens in a maternity hotel in Southern California, which I first heard about when I was pregnant with my own kids and living east of Los Angeles. And I began hearing in the news about these suburban homes where pregnant women were coming and going, and the alleyways, like the trash can was like overflowing with diapers and cans of, you know, empty cans of formula. And the neighbors were baffled. Why were these Chinese women coming and going? To me, it sounded like a brothel in reverse. And it turned out they were coming here so their kids could get U.S. citizenship at birth. But since I was pregnant at the time, for me as a woman, I knew it was one of the most vulnerable times in my life. And I wondered what it was like to be so far from friends and family. And what was it about U.S. citizenship that mattered to them so much for their children's sake that would bring them here? The premise then sparked my thoughts about, well, what kind of character would find herself in this situation, and how would she get herself out of it?
There is something about Mama at the hotel.
Oh, Mama Fang, yeah.
Yes, yes, who reminds me, have you read East of Eden? You remember Kathy, who ran the brothel? And Mama Fang reminds me so much of Kathy. There's just something in her coldness and in her calculatedness that is just very dark.
Yeah, she's wily.
Wily, yeah. There, that's it.
Well, she's actually, I was inspired by classic Chinese literature, books like The Water Margin, where there's tales of bandits and, you know, lots of oaths, wrestling with tigers. But there is often a matchmaker character, an elderly woman who is brokering affairs, brokering marriages. She knows everyone's business in town and knows how to take a cut for herself with each transaction. And so I brought a little bit of that to Mama Fang, because actually in modern day China, you see the same thing happening in terms of, you know, if you see possibility where others do not, then you can kind of make a way for yourself.
Are there other characters who come from some of the classic literature?
Well, there is that whole section in Chinatown where Scarlett sort of barters her way up to something she really needs, like a flea for a dog, a chicken for a cow, that sort of thing. And sort of like, again, has a folktale quality to it, but in a modern setting about just how you kind of make your way in the world.
Auspicious dates, when it's wise, when it's appropriate, when it's good luck or bad luck to be born. Those dates are pretty important, but not controllable exactly. Controllable to a point. And that's an issue for the women at the hotel.
Right. At the beginning of the novel, there is a mother who plans her C-section around a date she does not want it to be on. But unfortunately for her, she goes into labor on that very day. So like time and tide, labor waits for no woman. So,
and talk a little bit about that tradition, about that part of the culture that provides those dates.
Sure. I mean, it's not something that, say, my parents, who are like a scientist and engineer, followed closely, you know, but I know other people, their parents consulted astrologers who sort of picked good dates based on their birth dates. People always say, like, well, it's based on ancient knowledge, you know, but lots of things are based on ancient knowledge that don't necessarily actually work. But I suppose it gives people comfort. But I will tell sort of a funny story about my wedding date. We presented like a couple dates, and, you know, my parents said, like, oh, don't worry about it. Pick whatever you want, whatever is most convenient. And so we picked something that sounded like, and then they called back and they were like, oh, no, actually what you picked is a homonym for die together. Ichi. So we picked a date the following week. So yeah. So as pragmatic as my parents actually are, in the end they still were like, well, we're Chinese enough still that we're not going to pick that date. Who doesn't love to read the horoscope in the newspaper, and how is that any different?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it really takes it to a new level.
Yes.
Because it's the specific days, yeah, instead of a lot of us looking at that 30-day period.
Yeah.
Do you actually tell us when Scarlett was born?
Oh, no, her birthday is not in the book.
Her birthday is not in the book. We know that she and her lover are the same sign.
Oh, right.
Or the same year, the same animal year,
yeah.
But that...
Right, through the 12-year cycle.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Okay, but we don't actually have a date for her. You point out the difference between tourists and travelers. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, that is from a certain character's point of view. Daisy's boyfriend, who kind of, you know, prides himself on seeing himself as a traveler and not a tourist. But as Scarlett points out, if you want to see what the local item is, then why not get it at the local market for a tenth of the cost? So, there can be this, you know, snobbery about what is the best way to travel, how do you interface with other cultures, you know, do you go native, do you, you know, go on the tour, how do you go about doing it that's in a way that's respectful and not exploitative. And since this novel is about immigration and, you know, travel and just cultures mixing, it's, you know, something that was on my mind as I was writing these passages.
How does someone learn the world's possibilities? You say she couldn't really do that at home, but she was on that plane looking at that coastline, thinking about possibility. Where does that change for a person who is classified as an immigrant?
Right. Well, I think for her it even began earlier in the village when she was living with her widowed mother, who works as an enforcer for a family planning clinic. So she's really witnessed some things in her life that have, you know, made her ambivalent about becoming a mother or having kids, and making her partly decide to leave home as a teenager to go work in the cities and, you know, to get away from her mother. It's one step to, like, get yourself from countryside to the city. And then in those years, she went to night school. She jumped from job to job, always looking for something bigger and better. But, you know, it came at a cost. She always had her guard up, and she wasn't close to anyone, and she was sort of very independent and felt like even lovers came and went, but there was no one she really trusted until Boss Jung, and she becomes pregnant by him. But then when she comes to this country, the relationship sours, and then, you know, that's why we haven't even talked about Daisy, why they have to escape. But for me, part of Scarlett's journey is going from being on guard all the time to sort of opening herself up to the idea of a makeshift family, opening herself up to San Francisco's Chinatown and realizing, like, what it takes to be rooted in herself and in a community.
That was author Vanessa Hua with Ardana Apidoni. Hua's debut novel is A River of Stars. She is a featured author at the Stories on Stage Davis opening night gala tomorrow evening at the Pence Gallery. We have event and ticket information on our website at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio.
How many thousands of beggars must I be? For you will love me. 100 lives I've lived before,